Well, hello to y'all. I want to encourage you right off the bat. It's good to see some of you for the first time. Some of you for other times. Hi, Donna. I want to encourage you, like I said. Listen, this may only be for one or two people, but it's definitely for me. When and if you've been healed of a sickness, a cancer, a disease, a mental issue, a problem, you cannot quit there. That's the time to bear down. With both cancers, with blood disorders and diabetes and hemochromatosis and unknown situations and problems like hepatitis C and so on within the blood, I stand here healed and totally set free, full of energy like I've never felt for at least 12 years. The point I'm making is this. I cannot say, okay, that's just then. I have to step on the gas now and go for it. Because people would say, my God, how many, are you just joking? Are you lying to us with all this disease and sickness? No, not at all. They really did happen. But in the mind, something happens as well. You see, there's all kinds of fears and problems and opposition and situations that happen. And you have to uphold your mind with the Word of God. The Bible says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life to all them that find them, and peace, health, medicine, whatever you want. It's medicine to all your flesh. The Word of God is medicine. If you get sick and you have a flu, you go to the doctor, he gives you 30 or 40, whatever it is, penicillins. He'll say, take 3 a day or 4 a day, and he says, take them for 10 days and finish them. That's what the Word of God is, only it's spiritual. You have to finish what it is the Lord is telling us to do. And we're here for a certain length of time. Opposition, sicknesses, and diseases are not just something very negative. They are, but it's also an opportunity to be turned around and show the glory of God. Anyways, I'm saying that for somebody, and maybe Karen, it's for you, but it's definitely for me. I cannot forget the fact that the enemy, he seems to be following us around and wants to lay something else on us. We need to be careful because we're in a warfare. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be careful. Haggai, page 1483. So 1483. Or go to Malachi and go back a few books. That's probably the easiest way. This morning, I want to kind of partly talk at least about revival. I believe we're positioned for revival. Maybe not everyone, but I believe that as a body, it's like the Lord is saying, come on, we need to move along. There's a dying world out there, and you need to give what you got. You need to go for it. And so we're up to do that. Amen? Haggai, verse 1, chapter 1. In the second year of Darius, king of Persia, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by means of Haggai the prophet in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. So they knew about captivity. To Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And the word said, thus saith the Lord of hosts. By the way, I'm reading out of the Amplified. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, these people say that the time is not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. Now, I know right here they're talking about the physical house, but there's also a spiritual connotation here. It also means spiritual. Where is your house today? In verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say that the time has not come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. Although Cyrus had ordered it done 18 years before. It's been an order. It's a set deal. Revival is a refurbishing, a renewing, a refreshing, a refiring. It's an excitement. It's telling people about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done in your life. Verse 3 says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruin. There is nothing wrong with paneled houses or nice homes. But he was referring it to the temple. And he was referring to it lying in ruin. If we were to look at that, we could see that how the world tells us to get better, to do better, to be better, and all the rest of it. But the word also says, too, that you can't be friends with the world because it's enmity with God. We got to take this house and build it. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. You have sown much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. Now, doesn't say in Matthew 6:33, the seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He was referring to what we wear, what we drink, what we eat. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. And I know here, like I said, it could be the physical structure of the temple, but it was also about the condition of the heart. And that's what I'm trying to get forward this morning. Verse 7 says, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared. Last night I actually was in bed and I was laying down. The Lord began speaking to me. And he was talking to me about some of the things that we as Christians do and how we are plugged into the world. And maybe I'm speaking to the choir here, okay? If this is not for you, discard it. But just in terms of even the electronics that we have, nothing wrong with it. We need it for business and so on. But there are many Christians who are so plugged into electronics, they don't have time for the Word of God. They don't have times to build themselves up in the Holy Spirit. Because it's like the enemy is saying, one more this, one more that, one more this, and I'm going to use this. If you purchase a new phone, within the next month, there's going to be new products for that phone you'll have to purchase. If you don't purchase that, then your phone will eventually become obsolete, which is one today on the cutting edge. Next month, it'll be almost obsolete. I know that by experience. But I do know that a phone is very important. So I'm not hammering phones or all the rest of it, electronics, we need them. But when we start taking and spending so much time and money on them kinds of things, when we should be taking time and taking whatever it needs to build up in here, then something is wrong. I want to warn you, but yet I want to encourage you. It is time for revival, but revival is work. But I want to warn you, you will pay now or you will pay later. If you pay now, you will give up some things that the Lord is talking to you about giving up. If you're not at that place where you still can hear the Lord. But we need to build ourselves up, and not only praying in the Holy Spirit, but in the Word. We need to take time, talk to the Lord. He wants to hear from us. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, but how many of you here have a one-sided relationship with someone? After a while, it gets kind of boring. If we were just to go to our mom or dad, and always only do the talking. It'd be pretty rough if we would never wait for an answer. Verse 8, go up into the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord, by accepting it as done for my glory and by displaying my glory in it. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, know ye not that you are the temples of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Acts 20, verse 28 says, this church, the church of Jesus Christ, is his. It's been bought by his blood. He shed his blood. We are the ones that are fortunate to go for not the ride only, but to go for and be part of his family. It's not like here I am. Thank you, Lord. You're very fortunate today because I'm here. What would you like? It's the other way around. Verse 10 says, therefore, the heavens above you, for your sake, withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its produce. And I have called for a drought upon the land and the hill country upon the grain, the fresh wine, the oil upon what the ground brings forth, upon men and cattle, and upon all the wearisome toil of men's hands. Then Joshua and Jehozadak and all the remnant of the people who had returned from captivity listened and obeyed to the voice of the Lord. Let me ask you, are you ready to listen and to obey the voice of the Lord? Because he wants to get right in there with you this year. He wants to take some of the excuses maybe that we've had and dispel them. He wants to bring us further into him. Not just for our sakes and not just for a relationship for him, but because people need it. You have, every one of you have something to say within the body of Christ. Say that. Say, I have something to say in the body of Christ.
I have something to say in the body of Christ.
But do you believe it? Do you seriously believe it? Well, let me ask you another question. What is it that he wants you to do? Do you know? If not, he wants to show you. It's not a bad thing if you don't know, but he wants to show you. Verse 14 says, so they were obedient to the Lord, their God, not vaguely or partly, but completely, according to the words of Haggai the prophet, since the Lord their God had sent him, and the people reverently feared and worshipfully turned to the Lord. That's good advice. Verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. You see, he was telling us where we thought that we were, which was really nowhere in him, was actually type of a rebuke, saying, you think this and you think that, and you think it's not time to rebuild or to build. And then he says a bunch of things. He says, everything you've got is like having a bag with holes in it. For example, finances. And it's good to save for the future in that, but if that's what you're doing and letting the house go, then something is going to happen. But verse 13, thank God, he says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. That's a pretty good deal. We give to him and he's with us. Verse 14, and the Lord aroused the spirit of Zerubbabel, the Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Zadok, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant. Would you like your spirit aroused today? The spirit of the remnant of the people, so that they came and labored. It's not easy. They labored on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. I'm going to tell you, when I was in Quebec, And the Lord brought this to my memory, even on the way here. He was saying, I want you to mention this. When I was, let's say when I was rebaptized about 10, maybe 11 years ago now, when I went back to the church, I had about 20 leaders within the body. And I said to each and every one of them, you have to, because I called a meeting, I said, you have to pray 2 hours a day. And I waited for a response. But I knew where we were was not enough to bring in the things that God wanted us to bring in. And I'm not trying to condemn. People didn't have to. I am not God. God is God. But this is what I felt I needed to do. Many of them complied. I was going to say compiled. Many of them complied. And many of them did. But today, I don't know if that would work out anymore. I don't need a show of hands, but how many people today here could pray 2 hours a day? It would be very difficult. Many people are busy. You don't have to start with 2 hours. These people were doing something within leadership, i.e. elders and so on. But we can get so caught up with what's going on. And most of it is good stuff. But what if I was to say, what about 15 minutes a day? What about taking like five, we have a good example here, 5 minutes of, praying in the Spirit, 5 minutes of private worship, 5 minutes of confessing the Word. First of all, I know what would happen. The enemy would come in and try to confuse that. He would try and make the Bible one big blur, because he still tries it with me, even when in the areas of healing. When that fails, I say, I know that the Lord is my healer. And then I begin to allow the scriptures to come into mind. But the enemy, if he can take and clear your mind, he will. But if you set your heart on something like that, He will begin to do something in you, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You can look at it, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. You've been bought with a price. What was the price? His blood. He gave everything. And so he wants you to do this. And when I say you either pay now or you pay later, some of you have children. Some of you have younger children. Some of you have older children. And some of you know what I'm talking about exactly. Some of you are about to learn. And if I could encourage you, I would. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Instead of toiling and working and working. One day I was told that I was toiling, that I was spinning, that I was working. And I didn't take it as a kind of a rejection. I took it as, hey, you know what? If that's true, then I want to find out what that word means. And then, B, what I have to do about it. And so I did. I try not to toil or work. The Lord is not a taskmaster. If I was to suggest 15 minutes, I mean, that's up to you. But I would suggest 15 minutes a day. And the beautiful thing is that you think you don't have 15 minutes, but find it. If you find it before you know, that'll turn into half an hour. And then I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to promise you what happens. You won't want to leave God's presence. A half an hour will be a drop in the bucket. And that's what happens. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. So we need to be building and rebuilding all the time. Even if you've been healed of cancers and all the rest of it that they tell you you have, that may be a fact, but the truth is that by his stripes you were healed. You might say, well, that's a physical thing. I'm going to Romans 12. You might say, that's a physical thing. What about the mental thing? Well, in 71, I overdosed in drugs. When I came to the Lord almost 4 years ago, I couldn't speak because I had brain damage. But I took the Word of God, read it constantly, constantly, constantly. In fact, that little Bible that someone gave me was the New Testament. It became so dog-eared, and I underlined so many things that I couldn't read out of it anymore. And after 5 months, I was talking like anyone normal, without all the swear words that goes with it when you're in the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to explain what verse 1 and 2 mean a little more this morning. We hear it a lot. We all could quote it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When you present your body as a living sacrifice, when you get up on the altar, don't get off. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not like you're doing something really great. God wants us to do this. He expects us to do this. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the same as trying to find out, Lord, what's your will? Is it 30, 60, or 100-fold? A lot of Christians just go to the 30 part. Some go to the 60% part. Others say, man, I am just a spiritual hog, as someone said. And they want to go to the 100% part. I want everything the Lord has for me, and I want to do it. I want to be in Him. I want to be doers of the word and not hearers only, as James 1, verse 22 says. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, he's still speaking about verse 1 and 2, okay? For I say through the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking, and he had grace given to him, okay? To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according, and you need to listen to this, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every one of us has been given the measure of faith. In this case, Paul was given the measure of faith as an apostle. So it was his duty and job to not only write 2/3 of the book, but here he's writing the Romans. He was talking to them as a father, and he was encouraging them. He was saying, me as an apostle, I'm talking to you, and you have a measure of faith. My measure of faith is to apostolize. Anyway, there goes that time again. But, you know, verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, number one, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or the measure of faith. Doesn't make you a prophet. It means that you can prophesy according to the measure of faith. Verse 7 says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or, number 3, he that teaches on teaching. Verse 8 and number 4 says, he that exhorteth on exhortation. I want you to read over, flip over to Hebrews 10 for a second. Glory to God. Hebrews 10, talking about exhorting here. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. When you're at church, you're able to exhort one another. You're able to exhort your brother and sister. There are times your brother or sister comes to church and they just need you to say a word. And that's the exhortation. So not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And I know there's reasons why everybody can't be at church. But we have to kick out some of the excuses from last year. And God is asking you to go further in Him this year. Let's just say September is the month of new beginnings, new year. He wants us to do more. You can't do more, don't. but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. So back to Romans 12, verse 4, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Number 5, still verse 8, he that giveth, let him give with simplicity. I hear the pages, I wait. Still verse 8, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, and abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. No matter who you are, if you're in the body of Christ, you fit in one of these places. I'll say them again. One is the prophecy. Two, ministry. That means service. We honored Patrick this morning. Three, teaching. Four, exhortation. Five, he that giveth. Now, we all need to give. But there are some with the just that thing inside of them that wants to make money for the kingdom of God. It's a gospel entrepreneur. Also, we need to always be praying, say, Lord, who can I give to? It's not only about bringing your money up here and dropping it here. What can I do? Is there a widow with a couple of kids that needs $20? I mean, ask God, Lord, who needs this? Is there someone standing in front of a Walmart that God says, go speak to, go drop a little dough in them? They need milk. They shop, but they didn't have enough money to buy milk. Or are the pastors, are they short? Do they need something? I just want to bless them. I just want to bless them. So we talked about ministry, teaching, exhortation, giveth. Still verse 8, ruleth, and mercy, okay? Paul's measure of faith was to be an apostle, but he's saying no matter who you are, you have a measure of faith if you are a born-again Christian and you have something to do within the body of Christ based on this. Now, there's more, a lot more teaching on this, but basically, if you look at that, if you would meditate on them, scriptures, the Lord would begin to show you what it is you're supposed to do, okay? Finally, turn over to Luke chapter 9. The Lord definitely wants revival. You know, I'll tell you, we're not waiting on something else to come or to happen, or an army to come and set up whatever it is we need to set up to preach and receive people. We are that army. We are that army. We are the people that the Lord is sending. It's interesting what the Lord Jesus did here. And this is a good motto to follow. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples. So first of all, he called. Then he gave them power over all devils to cure diseases. Verse 2, he sent them to preach. So first you see that he called, verse 1. Second, you see that he sent them, verse 2. And then from 3, 4, and 5, you see that he instructed them. So he called, he sent them, then he instructed them. This is his word. This is how he instructs us. Verse 4 says, and whoever's house you enter into, therefore, and so on and so forth. But verse 6, they departed. And what did they do? They went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Verse 10, excuse me, the apostles returned. Then what did they do? Verse 10, they gave account. They told him all that they had done. And verse 7, I'm sorry, verse 10 still, and 11 there, he says, but then he took them to rest. So first he called them. You're called. You're in his body. Then he sent them. We're sent. Then he instructs us. They departed. They preached. They returned. And they gave account. And then he says, okay, now I want to take you to rest. Working and laboring within the kingdom like this, it's not laborious, hard, breaking rock kind of thing. When you find out where you fit within the body, it's easy to go and do what it is he's called you to do. If you remain humble, it's not hard to come back and to say, you know what the Lord is doing? Here's what he did. He healed me. Or he brought someone along and I bumped into him at Tim Hortons and I ministered to him, or McDonald's. Or I had to teach a group where God called me to testify, or God called me to exhort or to give. But this is what he wants to show you. It's very simple, actually. This is really Christianity 101. But this is what he wants us to do. And so, when we work hard, it's not like a strenuous, hard thing. It's very simple. And this has got nothing to do with the mighty offices, okay, and all the rest of it. This is for us right here where we are. Some of us walk in an office, yes. But this is for the body of Christ. And we need to find out who we are in him and what it is we have to do. And then we need to go and do it. Then we need to come back and give account. And then God will give us the rest. Not only will he give us the rest at the end, but he'll give us the rest through it, because we'll be walking in what it is that he's called us to do and not what someone else has been called to do. Don't be concerned about all that. We're a body. We're going to fit together. When we're flowing and doing what we're supposed to do, we're all going to be flowing in unity. And I'm telling you, that's revival. We will be excited because we'll be happy about it, what it is God's doing through us. Matthew 28. We know that these signs and wonders will follow them that believe. But here's a command of the Lord. He commands us to love one another, correct? But this is his great commission. Verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. When we're flowing in what it is that God's called us to do, we're going to walk in a faith and a trust that we've never walked in before. And it's not that hard. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for who you are. Father, I just pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll open up the eyes of our spiritual understanding, that we would know the hope of your calling. For, Lord, you would never tell us we could know it and then keep us from it. You want us to know. So, Lord, I pray that we'll take time with you, that we'll somehow find 15 minutes a day. For, Lord, you've prepared us for this, and we're able to do it. I thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you in spirit and in truth. Could I get you to stand, please? I would just like for all of us to join together, if you will, and pray just a short prayer, kind of like a rededication to the Lord. But as the people back in Haggai They just wanted to be obedient to the Lord's call. And not just partially, but completely. Not just 30, and maybe not just even 60, but 100-fold. So say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to your throne of grace with thanksgiving in my heart. And I thank you that I am part of your body. Lord, I will try and do my best to take 15 minutes a day and just to pray and worship you and speak the word. Whichever word you tell me to speak. If it's over myself or someone else. But I will speak it. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray right now. This involves change in my life. And I pray for strength for change. So, Lord, I will do it with your help.